Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out again to the home group meeting here in February of 2012. And I'd like to start a three-part series on something that is critical to our Christian walk with the Lord. And I'm going to entitle them investments. But I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about us investing things of ourselves into the Lord in His services through one of the most important areas of our life. And the first area, what I like to talk about, and we will continue over through the three series. And tonight, I'd like to start talking about faithfulness, obedience. Our faithfulness and obedience, commitment, dedication, you know, all of these words can be intermixed and intertwined in our life. But one thing for sure, that our faithfulness and commitment to God will carry us in areas in God far beyond our ability. And even the abilities that God give us, oftentimes the Bible says that God used this person beyond their ability, used them beyond the normal things that God has given them. And faithfulness is one of those areas in our life. And I'll go ahead and just cut to the chase a little bit here as we get going. And faithfulness is one thing that we must allow God to build in us. And this is something that we do not have. We are not faithful as people. And God must be able to build this characteristic of faithfulness in us. And if He cannot do that, now listen to me, saints, if He cannot do that, then God cannot use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service by God unless we can allow Him to build some faithfulness in us. And, again, faithfulness is just so critical in our lives. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to Luke 16 and 10. Those that have, you have the teaching notes, I have them right here. It's right there. In Luke 16:10, here's the Lord talking. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least." Now that word least there means little or insignificant. Little or insignificant. It's faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least, and that he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Wow. He that is faithful in that which is least, insignificant and little. And we're going to see tonight that we are concerned about big things in our life. You know, we are concerned about how we can minister, how we can pray, how we can fast, all these big spiritual things. But I'm here to tell you that God is not so, that's not His focus in our life. That is not what God is looking for in us. But God is looking for those little areas, those insignificant things in our life, and He looks at us and how we operate in those, If we cannot be faithful, if we cannot be committed and dedicated, then in the little things, in the little insignificant things, then we will not be faithful in much. Now this is a spiritual principle that God has put in place, and we can't change it no matter how much we want to. But if we cannot be faithful in the little things that God gives us, then we will never, ever be faithful in the big things. The condition for having much. So many Christians that I talk to, they say, "Oh, I want this, and I want this big ministry, and I want this, or I want that." Well, the condition for having much in God, even in ministry, is to be faithful in the little things, in the least things, in the insignificant things in our life. Faithfulness in the least is one of the greatest qualities God is looking for us to develop. As I said earlier, faithfulness is not a part of us. That is not a part of our character. It is not a part of our nature. Human beings are not faithful people. We would rather do our own thing. We would rather see what we can get. We want what we want. But faithfulness is a characteristic of God that must be developed in us. More than what we call being spiritual or moving through, God moving through us and healing and through the gifts of Spirit. God is looking for us to be faithful, again, the little things, not the big things, but the little things. Things we believe have no bearing on our spiritual growth and development. Let me say that again. God is scrutinizing us. He's looking at us. And things that we believe has no bearing on our spiritual growth and development. God wants us to be faithful first to Him and Him alone. To Him. If we cannot be faithful to God, how are we going to be faithful to our husbands and our wives or our friends? Next, God wants us to be faithful to each other. I tell you, there is not much, you know, I mean, in the world, just look around, there's not too many people that are really, really faithful. When I look at the, you know, in the paper and I see somebody's been married to somebody for 60 years or 50 years, my parents, before my father died, you know, was married over 60 years, and I saw the things and the struggles that they went through, and I was just amazed. I was just amazed of that 60 years of being faithful. It just, it, you know, it's just amazing. And so God wants us to be faithful to Him and to each other. Not in the big things. Not in the big things, remember, but in the little things. And God wants us also to be faithful to a church, that the church that He wants us to go to. He looks at us in areas and is so concerned about those things, those little things in our life. And I would go as far as say the smaller the area in our lives, the closer God is looking at us and looking at our faithfulness in it. Always remember this foundational principle. God is to us what we are to Him. And if we get the principles right, everything else will flow to what God will is for our life. That's a very important point. God is to us what we are to Him. And if we get the principles in God's right, everything else will flow. Well, a lot of people say, well, Dave, how do you know that's God's will? Well, in God's will, things just work out. In God's will, things just work out. And if you get the principles right, if you get the precepts and the concepts that are contained in the Word of God, then things will always, always work out. We get our concepts today from precepts, and precepts are individual patterns of truth. Individual patterns of truth. And if we take those precepts into our life, then the things that come out from those precepts are our concepts, and things will always, always work out. God's faithfulness to us is dependent on our faithfulness to Him first. Isn't that amazing? God's faithfulness, yes, and God loved us, and He died, you know, He sent His Son Jesus to die, and He loved us before we loved Him. But God's faithfulness to us is dependent also on our faithfulness to Him. Yes, He did love us, but out from that love comes our response to that love, and with a correct approach to Him. At the same measure we are faithful to God, He will be that back to us. At that same measure that we are faithful to God, He will be that back to us. You may think something is insignificant, but God sees it as important. God will look into the least of things He finds us moving in and operating in. He will closely scrutinize them in us to see how we behave in the least and not the greatest. Amen. God is very concerned how we handle small things. Things that we think is of no real value. Things of just, you know, things that we think are not important to God, these small things are important. And He closely examines us. He closely scrutinizes us in these little small areas because He knows if we can be faithful, if we can be committed, if we can be dedicated in these little small areas, then He knows that we will be dedicated and we will be faithful in these big things. And then He'll be able to trust us more with more and more in Him. How faithful or how unfaithful are we in these little areas? God gives us things. He brings us into little and difficult situations so He can see us operate in these insignificant things first. A lot of people say, well, Dave, why does God allow suffering? or why does God, you know, allow this, or, you know, why do babies die at birth, and all that good stuff. And I never really had an answer until one day, I always tell this before the Lord, and one day it came to me, God allows these tragic things in our life so He can see how we respond and how we operate in these areas. Do we get upset? Do we get angry? Or do we just kind of move in God in these sad areas? And yes, they're emotional. And yes, they just rip our hearts and just hits us in the stomach. And all of these, you know, these bad things that happen. They say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I tell you, I believe that happens so that God can see us and can watch us operate in these insignificant things in our life. You may think something is insignificant, but God sees it as very, very important. God sees it as very, very important. And God is always looking at those little areas. God will look into the least that He finds us moving in and operating in. And He will scrutinize or closely examine us in these areas to see how we behave. Wow, wow, wow. I have to keep driving this point home because it is very, very important, because God is very concerned how we handle the little things. God is, you know, and God's giving to us, He always gives to us with an intention of us giving some of that away. And He never gives to us empty-handed or dead-handed. He never gives to us dead-ended. We are not to spend something He gives, you know, He gives us to ourselves. A portion of God's giving is to us, is to be given to something else or to someone else. And so God will give us something. He may give us $100 just out of clear blue. And God does not expect us to spend that $100 on ourselves. Well, I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to have to take my wife to a big dinner or whatever. No, no, no. God is looking at that little small area. God gave me that $100. But you know what? God expects us to take some of that $100. It may be a 10%, it may be a tithe, but He expects us to give some of that away. God never gives to us dead-ended. And whatever God gives us something, He expects us to give that away. He watches us. He gives that to us. And then He watches us. He watches us operate. He watches us move. He watches how we're going to spend that money and what we're going to do with that. And He's closely examining that because He knows that He can give us $100 and we handle that $100 correctly by giving some of that away, and He can give us $1 million. And then we would do the same thing. God is always watching us in these type of areas. Amen. Always remember, the condition of receiving from God is based on our giving. God's, you know, condition for us receiving from God. Oh God, I want to give. I want this and I want that. Well, you know, whether we receive from God does not depend upon God giving it to us, because He wants to give us good gifts. He wants to give us things. But whether we receive or not from God does not depend upon God, but it depends upon us. Depends upon, are we willing to give away what God has given us? This is why it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is why it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we have so much, and so as we give away, as God watches us and operate in this little bit of money or in that He's given us, then He says, okay, I see Dave. I gave him that $100, and now I want to bless him even more because he handled that correctly, and now I'm going to give him more. Every time God does something in our life, He has a purpose and He has a reason for that. And the reason that God watches us operate and scrutinizes us in so many different areas is so that we can be approved and we can qualify for the next thing that God has for us. Don't think God just gives to us and there's nothing we have to do in that. Oh no. There are things when God gives us things we have to operate correctly in them. It's a process of approving and qualifying for. And if we do not operate correctly, if we do not operate in the ways that God intends for us to operate, in the things of the spirit, in the things of the physical, then God will not give us, certain things. He may be able to give us maybe small things and watch us operate, but if He can give us small things and we can operate correctly in those, then God will be able to give us those big things, the things that He wants to give us. But we have to first approve that. We must operate correctly in the small things, and then God will give us those big things. And we'll see that develop as we go on. Right. Amen. Being faithful in the least of things and our giving is what God gives to us, is what God is looking for us. Amen. Being faithful in the least of things and are giving what God gives to us is what God is looking for us. You know, so many people say, I want love. I want love. Or I want peace. Or I want joy. Well, you know, the condition for receiving peace and joy and love is giving love and peace and joy away. And so the more love, the more joy and peace we give away, the more that God will give that back to us. And if we are not faithful in the least of things, you don't have to worry about receiving big things. You won't. God will not give, a child of His things that He knows He cannot handle. God will not give His child, those spiritual gifts and those spiritual abilities, if a child is disobedient and will not do the things that He wants them to do. If we are not faithful in the least of things and do not give a portion of what we have, God will not give us the things that we really need in our life. Now that's a very, very important point. A very, very important point. God will not give us the things that we need. Now God wants to give us those things, but He will not give us those things. God is also looking for faithfulness and unrighteous mammon. God is also looking for faithfulness in unrighteous mammon. Luke 16:11 continues, if therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, and mammon is translated treasures and riches, who, notice the word says who there in the King James, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So if we have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, things that we would not consider being righteousness, who then will commit to our trust the true riches, the spiritual riches? Who will give those to us? If we have not been faithful in unrighteous things, then who will give us those righteous things? We often believe it is more covered about how we handle spiritual things. God is more concerned about how we handle, things of the Spirit. And, He is to a certain degree, but I tell you, God is just as concerned about us, how we handle those non-spiritual things. If we are not faithful in that which is not applied directly to God's righteousness, then He cannot and He will not commit righteous things to us. Wow. But Dan, that don't make any sense. I'm free in the Spirit. No, you're not free in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit even under restrictions and limitations in our life. There's no freedom in God. We must do what God wants us to do. We must do what God wants us to say. And if we are not faithful in unrighteous things in our life, then God will never, ever give us those righteous spiritual things that we need in our life. God is more concerned how we handle non-spiritual things than He is in us handling spiritual things. Wow. I'm telling you, God is so concerned about how we handle non-spiritual things. Can we be honest? Can we be truthful? What do we do with the things that God gives us? For example, we cannot say a car or money are righteous. These things are not classified in the things of righteousness. In fact, often we use these things for unrighteousness. But Jesus is drawing the contrast of the spiritual and the material realm. How do we handle our time? I mean, we all have extra time, right? No. We all have 24 hours in a day. And we decide how we're going to use that time. But how do we handle our time? How do we handle, you know, our extra money? What do we do with our extra time? You know, how do we spend it? You know, who do we spend it on? So forth and so on. And if we have not been faithful over these spiritual things that we have been given, who is going to commit to our trust that which is righteous? What are the true riches? The true riches are what? Mercy, judgment, forgiveness. It's not money. That's not the true riches of God. The true riches is mercy and judgments, the weightier things. It's forgiveness. Who is going to give us? Who is going to give us the ability to receive and give mercy? The ability to give judgment and receive judgment. The ability to forgive, to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. Who will give us those if we cannot be faithful in unrighteous things? If we cannot be faithful in these unspiritual things, who will do that? Who will give us the ability, you know, to do this? The word true is used by Jesus when he is always making a contrast. For example, when Jesus says, I am the true bread. I am the true bread. In contrast with the dough of the yeast or whatever that we eat. But he brings bread into his spiritual setting. The true riches in Luke 16 is a spiritual setting, not a material setting. God cannot give mercy and he cannot give judgment and forgiveness and all of these things if we cannot be faithful with unrighteous things. For example, this house. Another example. God has given this big, you know, this wonderful house to us. Why would we not want to have a gathering and bring Christians together to pray and Christians together and hear the word? This house is not a spiritual thing. It's not a spiritual thing. But since Karen and I have opened up our house to have a home group meeting, we pray and, you know, love people and feed people and do all of those things. It's an unrighteous mammon. This house is an unrighteous mammon. But if we use this house correctly, then God then will be able to trust us and God will give us those spiritual things that we want in our life. It says, is God going to commit to us that which is spiritual if we cannot be faithful in the least, or that which is unspiritual? Well, I mean, that answer is no. Of course not. God is not going to commit to us spiritual things if we cannot be faithful in the least or in those things that are unspiritual. Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever, now whatsoever means righteousness and unrighteousness, spiritual and unspiritual things, ye do in word or deed, do also in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I believe God is more concerned about unrighteous and unspiritual things that we do than he is in the righteous and the spiritual things. Wow. I know you probably wouldn't hear that often in most churches, but I'm telling you, you know, God is just so concerned about these areas in our life, these unrighteous areas and those unspiritual areas in our lives, because he knows that if he can allow us, you know, if he can work in our life and root these areas out and do away with these areas, then he'll be able to give us the spiritual things, yeah, that we need to advance the kingdom of God, not only in our life, but in the life of others. If we handle correctly unrighteous and unspiritual things, if we correctly handle righteous and spiritual things, then we can be trusted by God to handle the righteous and the spiritual things. And it's an important principle that we must understand. You know, and the focus a lot, you know, in a lot of churches is on the spiritual things, on spiritual things. And yes, that's good, you know, and there's a time and even there's a place for Christians, you know, to move in that. But and before you get into those areas of into the spiritual realm, first you have to establish yourself in those non-spiritual areas and those unrighteous areas and allow God to go ahead and just work in those areas in our life so that He can trust us and so that He can give us those areas. Amen. Parting thoughts. God's goal in our faithfulness is for us to be able to receive from God. If you're writing anything down tonight, please write that down, because that is critical. God's goal in our faithfulness is for us to receive from Him. So, so many people think that God's going to be faithful to me so that He can, you know, so that He can give me things. Now, this is an important point, and we really need to get this. Is I'm going to be faithful to God so that He can give me things. Well, no, that's backwards. We need to be faithful to God so that He can give us things. Not that we can receive things, but so that He can give us things. And there's a difference, and there's even a heart condition difference. It's God's goal in our faithfulness is so that we can receive from God. Luke 16:12. We looked at Luke 16:10, 11. Now we're going to look at 16:12. This kind of really sums up, you know, a lot of what I've been saying. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Wow! If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If we become faithful in the least, then God can commit to us spiritual and righteous riches, even our own. So now, if we have not been faithful in another man's, and, you know, you could put anything you want in there. You could say another man's job, you know, another man's field or whatever. So if we are not faithful and working for somebody, or if, you know, in another man's, who shall give us something that is our own? The condition for receiving our own riches, the condition of receiving our own things from God, is being faithful with others and another man's things. You know, when we before we moved to St. Cherry, we stayed over at 141 Coke Place. And we rented that place for 8 years. And Karen and I took the, you know, the philosophy in taking care of this house, that we took care of that house like it was our own. I mean, you know, we could have bought a house and so forth and so on, but God put us there, and we took care of that house like it was our own. That is a sign of being faithful in another man's. And so we took care of that house. We cleaned it, we cut the grass, and we did all of those things just like it was our own. And now God gave us our own. Gave us our own. He knows how to give His children good gifts. You know, and, you know, it's, you know, God knows how to give to us the things, you know, the things that we need. But God will not give us our own things. He will not give to us unless we can also be faithful in another man's stuff. Unless we can be faithful in those little insignificant things, and God watches us, you know, operate in those. And God will not give us those spiritual things. You know, those spiritual things of the Spirit, unless we are faithful in those unspiritual things and those unrighteous things. All things are given to us from God. And they are His things. And He gives them to us as we are able to receive them. We can't take God's things. And we can't even claim God's things. The word claim is not even in the Bible anywhere. I hear so many Christians say, "Brother, claim that." Well, you know, you can claim it all day long, but if God doesn't want you to have that, you're not going to get it. I mean, that's just the way that is. And, you know, I hear so many Christians say, brother, take that. You just take that, you know. Well, there's not a lot of things we can take from God. God must be able to give those to us. And God will give us those things that He wants to give us, not because He wants to give those to us, but He gives those to us based on our ability to receive from Him. Our ability to receive from Him and our ability to receive from God comes out of our faithfulness to Him and faithfulness to others. And as we are faithful in all of these other areas, then God will give us those things that we need. He commits to our keeping, to our trust, and to our investment. He pours into our life. Oh, gosh. He pours into our life. He pours all of those things into our life because He has found us to be faithful in unrighteous mammon. He pours into our life because He has found us to be faithful in the little things, the little smile, the simple cup of water, the little things in our life, the word of cheer, and all of these little things in our life, we have been faithful in those, and so now God pours them into our life. He's found us faithful. So He can and will give us righteous mammon. Because we've been faithful in these areas, God will, and He's the only one that can give us this righteous mammon. That is why Jesus says that you have been faithful in that which is another's. You may not receive that which is your own. Wow. You can't receive it. If you have not been faithful in somebody else's, you may not. You shall not be able to receive that which is your own. God gives us things, and if we are not faithful in what He gives us, we will not get those things that are our own. There are certain things that God, through the Scriptures, has for us that are classified by the words of our own. For example, Habakkuk 3:19, high places. Wow, high places. I want to go up in God. I want to go to the high places in God. Well, the high places in God, really, believe it or not, are low places. And the way up is down. And before you can go up in God, you better go down, because down is where God is. And the lower that we can go in God, in low places, that will equal those high places that we can go in God. But Habakkuk 3:19 says, Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And this is an illustration, believe it or not, of a mountain sheep that just walks just on the cracks and just, you know, the very, very, very narrow. Matter of fact, the ledges where these mountain sheep are, the feet are bigger than these ledges. And that's what it's saying, that in dangerous places, I'm this mountain sheep, and I'm walking on this dangerous ledge, you know. But those mountain sheep have an unbelievable ability to walk safely and pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Because I guarantee you, if they go too far to the left or to the right, then they would fall. And this is the image here. And He will make me to walk upon my high places. So God has high places for us to get to. There are high places God wants us to go to. But the way up is down. To get to those high places, first we must be faithful in little things. We must be faithful with unrighteous mammon. And we must be faithful with another man's stuff. You know? These are things that we must be faithful in so that we can get to those high places that God wants for us. Another area is thy crown. Revelations 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Wow. Let no man take thy crown. God has the crown of life for us. the crown of life, and that's what's being talked about here in Revelation 3:11. It's the crown of life. But notice it says, "Let no man take thy crown." That tells me there that someone can take your crown if you're not careful, right? Hold fast that thou hast. So we have that crown of life. So we got to be careful that no man will take thy crown. Because I promise you, if we are not faithful in the little things, if we're not faithful in unspiritual and unrighteous things, and if we're not faithful with another man's things, and if we're just, you know, not faithful to God, and we're not faithful to our wife, and, you know, friends and relatives, and our neighbor, even the guy on the street, I promise you, you can lose your crown. You can lose your crown. These are but two things that can be ours if we are faithful in the things that we've covered. You know, that word "if" is probably the most important word in the Bible. Love is nice, and, you know, all that, but if is just, you know, is the most important word in the Bible, because "if" always sets the condition for receiving from God. It's an if-then relationship. If you do this, then you will receive that. If you are good, I will bless you. But if you are bad, then I will curse you. It's an if-then relationship. Now, I don't know, I never counted all of the blessings in the Bible, but I was told there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible. 30,000. Now remember, a promise is something that we receive out from our own behavior. That's what a promise is. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she had a little thing called a promise box in her bedroom. And every morning she'd get up and she'd pull this little card out, and there was a promise. And she would read this promise, and it was one of the promises in the Bible. And then she would put it back, and every day she would go through this ritual. Now, there wasn't 30,000 promises in that little box, but the promises that were in that box, they all were conditioned upon meeting the condition. Now, I think the promise box would have been a lot more effective if on the back you turned it over and it had the condition that we had to, that we have to meet. In Isaiah, it talks about eating the fat of the land. Who would like to eat the fat of the land of America? Would like to always eat the best. Well, Isaiah says, "You shall eat the fat of the land if thou be willing and obedient." What a wonderful condition to meet, to eat the fat of the land, but that's based on our ability to be willing to go through what we need to and to, you know, be obedient. It's kind of amazing, we as Christians, we always look at the promises. Bless God, look at that promise. Yes! Man, I'm going to look at that promise. But you know what? We don't need to be looking at the promise as much as we need to be looking at the condition. We must look at the conditions, because looking at the promise will do us no good unless we meet the conditions in our life. It's the conditions. And you know what? God's not looking at the promises. Oh no. God is looking at us to see if we meet the conditions in our life. God wants to give us His goods. God wants to give us His good. God's goal, again, in our faithfulness is for us to be able to receive from Him. Because if we're not faithful to God, if we're not faithful, then God, you know, He can't give us the things that He needs to give us. But God wants to give us His goods. Matthew 25:14, wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. Last verse we'll look at tonight. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calls his own servant and delivers unto them his goods." Wow. The kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two separate places. The kingdom of God is within us. Joy, peace, in love and the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of, that's the kingdom of God. But this is the kingdom of heaven, is as a far man traveling into a far country who calls his own servants. He says, servants, come here. And he delivered unto them his goods. The servants did not receive their own goods. They didn't. It was the goods of the master. The master, the Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who knows how to give his children good gifts. He comes and he calls the servants and he says, here are my goods. I entrust them to you, to your keeping, to your working. You take these and you carry these. These goods will be your responsibility. God wants to give us these goods. God wants to give us all of the things that we need. But He cannot give those to us. He cannot give those to us unless we meet the conditions of being faithful in the least and unrighteous mammon in another man's stuff. We cannot receive God's goods until we learn how to be faithful. Wow. And again, faithfulness is not a part of mankind unless God is able to work in our life through His judgments and His dealings and teach us how to be faithful. God will not deliver or give us His goods until we learn how to carry them. Let me say that again. God will not give us His goods. He will not give us His goods until we learn how to carry them. You know, God is not going to give us a job in the kingdom of heaven if we're going to mess it up. He's not going to do that. He's not going to let us mess up something. His son died and paid a great price for the church, and he's not going to let us mess up the church. He's just not going to do that. And he's not going to give us something spiritually unless we have learned how to carry it, how to be responsible. And He must entrust to us into our keeping, in our goods. Now I find that last thought very, very amazing. God must entrust into our hands His things. You know, I just don't understand why the Creator of the universe has chosen man to do things on earth. Ephesians 2:22, and I don't understand this verse, and I'm holding this verse before the Lord, is why, the God of gods, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of the universe, would desire to want to live within man. Ephesians 2:22 says that God through His Spirit, that man is His eternal habitation. It just amazed me, and I don't understand it, why God would want to live in us, and that we would be God's eternal habitation forever and ever and ever. It's just amazing. And that thought also is, why God would want to give us His goods so that we, could do things on earth. And God has to do that. God has to give us His goods so that the gospel can be preached, so that we can travel around the world and share the gospel, so that we can build maternity clinics and TV clinics and radio stations, and guys like, Pastor Tate Dahl, can do the wonderful things that he's doing, and Michael Lupham, and all of these things. And God wants that gospel message to get around the world, and it's done by men and women that have been faithful, that have been found faithful. Men and women that have been faithful in the little things. Men and women that have been faithful in the unspiritual and the unrighteous things, that has handled them correctly. And men and women of God that have been faithful in another man's things. And because of this faithfulness, then God can trust them. He can give them His goods. And He can teach them how to had to carry them in how to be responsible for the goods that God has for our life. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, and those that are listening by internet, faithfulness is one of the biggest deals in our life. You know, I just can't stress that enough. Our faithfulness to God, our faithfulness to one another is just, it's just one of the biggest deals in our Christian walk. And sadly, if God cannot teach us how to be faithful, if He cannot teach us, if we refuse to learn how to be faithful, and there's especially those little areas in our life, then God can't use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service by God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love, Father. And Lord God, Lord, I just ask You for myself tonight, Father, Lord, that I be more of a faithful man to You, Father. Lord, that I be more faithful, Father, Lord God. Please show me in my life and in my heart, Father, Lord. If there's areas, Father, Lord God, that I'm lacking, areas that I'm not faithful to You, Father, Lord God. Lord, by Your precious Holy Spirit, reveal those in my life, Father, Lord God. Let me see, Father, Lord God. Lord, just show to me, Father. Shine Your Holy Spirit, Your light on me, Father, Lord, and open up my understanding and my eyes to this, Father. Lord, those areas where I need to be a better husband and faithfulness to caring, Father, Lord, and to my family, Father, Lord God. Just, Lord, through Your precious Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, just open up my understanding, Father, Lord God. Just quicken my spirit, Father, Lord, and give me revelation knowledge, Father. Just, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to You, Father, Lord God. I want to be faithful to my wife, and my family, and my friends, Father. Lord, I want it to be said of Dave Stahl that he is a faithful man, Father. And I just thank You, Father, Lord, because I know that can be said of me, Father, Lord God, that You have worked in my life, and Lord, I am a faithful man, Father, Lord, and I know that You can entrust into my keeping, Father, all of Your goods and all of the things that You would have in my life, Father. And I thank You and I praise You, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank You and we give You all the power and the glory, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.